At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And folks, that's all you're getting. That's right. There's no music. There's no music because why would we have intro music to a show that we call Musical Chairs, Dave? Hello, everyone. Yeah. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, welcoming you in to the season 4 edition of Musical Chairs, something I don't know that I thought I would ever say. I thought this would be a fun little distraction for whatever this whole podcasting thing petered out, and I stopped doing it, Dave. And this whole hockey talk thing, we were the suckers. We make this joke. We were the suckers in the Chair Shot Radio resurgence that stuck around, and suddenly we just became a show.
Yeah, we are the foundation of Chair Shot Radio, whether anybody wants to admit that or not. We are.
I like to think of myself as the talent. Yeah.
You're the talent.
I definitely am not a producer. It's not like I post a show on website.
That's a different role entirely, but you know, it's all right. But yeah, it's this I know. I remember when I approached you with the idea for this thing, I said, what do you think of this? Like, yeah, we can give it a try, see how it works. And it's actually kind of stuck. And it took on a little bit of a life of its own. And I thought we were on season 3, and then I was looking at the list to kind of, okay, let's see where we are. Who have we covered? Who's still out there? I was like, God, we went through season 3. And that didn't even include the one episode, which was kind of a bonus one, where you went to, I think it was Alanis Morissette. And I went to the Hell Mega Tour, and we actually covered the bands that were involved in that thing a little bit, which some of those were repetitive. Some of them are going to come back later, I think, to cover in more detail. But yeah, it's it's always fun.
Yeah, and I can already tell you, you know, there will be at least one show I don't do in August. About a month from now, we won't do a show, or at least maybe you have a special guest. Maybe you have somebody else come on and fill in for me if you want. But I will be at a Metallica concert, and so I'm not going to podcast that day.
Well, that's a worthy reason.
Yes. Very excited about this show.
Don't you have like a vacation or something you guys normally take this time of year?
All of the O'Dowd family vacations have been taken because of Disney trips.
There you go.
Because we went to Walt Disney World in November, went to Walt Disney World in April. So staying... Basically, I'm taking 3 day weekends here and there. Like I took this past Friday off after the 4th, I won't take another vacation. And even then, it's not even a vacation; it's extended weekend. I'm going back to visit the Mouse in September for Halloween season. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. That bad boy out.
I was going to tell you, the girls were sitting around looking for tickets for Universal Studios.
Oh, Oogie Boogie.
Hollywood Horror Nights. And it's like, you got to plan this stuff way out in advance because it's ridiculous. Like the prices are insane, but I know this year Universal is going to have some really cool stuff. So they're really wanting to go.
On your coast, the Oogie Boogie Bash, the Disneyland Halloween thing, all of the tickets for every show is sold out. Right. Every single one of them sold out. July 7th as we record this.
And the good news is we do know that Haunted Mansion is kind of reopening on a virtual queue basis, which that should be interesting to see how that works. But because we really thought,
yeah, people can.
It's going to be shut down until 2025, but apparently that's not the case.
You can't not have the Haunted Mansion for Halloween and
Christmas.
That
would be bad.
That's the thing.
That'd be a very, I mean, and like last
I'm time, sure
it's like, well, I mean, last time we were there, they had the holiday overlay, so really, they don't have to change anything. You just got to reopen the damn thing.
That's the thing. I'm excited to go to the fun thing about this past year with doing the annual pass thing and all of the trips we've made is being able to see Disney at different times of year has been fun. Got to go in the springtime during their Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot. That was really awesome. Went obviously the transition from fall to winter with the end of Halloween, which then becomes Christmas season. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving at the old Disney property. I've seen the Walt Disney Christmas overlay 3 times amongst my visits. This is the first 3 visits we ever made were around Christmas time. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this. They're bringing back lightning lanes. Mm-hmm. They got this new lightning lane system, fast pass, multi-pass. That's a multi-pass. They went full Fifth Element on us.
I think they figured people like now, us were gaming. We might as well up to everybody.
Well, it's not that we were gaming. Like, I always think people, when they travel, really stress themselves out with these trips. And I don't get it. Like, do a little bit of the homework. It is not complicated to do. And don't set yourself up to have your entire trip hinge on whether or not you get to ride a specific ride. Because the things that I see that people bitch about in Disney World is I wasn't able to get into the Tron Light Cycle Run virtual queue or one of the virtual queues. That's the big one. And it's like, my trip was ruined. This sucked. Was it? Was it like that was your trip? There's all this shit to do at the Disney property.
Yeah.
And that one ride, that's what did it.
Right. It's gone. When we went there in 2022, had we not gone on Cosmic Rewind, would it have been disappointing? Sure. But it wouldn't have ruined the entire trip. It's like, if you're really hinging everything on one ride, then...
Now, did you do the virtual queue thing, or did you pay for a spot?
They didn't have the pay for the spot. Because remember, it had just opened when we went. So it was all virtual queue. And like, I think we had tried to... I remember telling you we were down to our last attempt and my son says, let me try. And you know, the power of youth, man, he was fast enough and he was able to get us in there. So, but it was all virtual.
They do the individual lightning lane thing at there, where you could, rather than deal with a lightning lane thing, is pay a $20 per person and you would skip the line. That's what I've done every single time we've done Guardians. It's how I did Tron.
I do that at our parks for like Rise, you know, Rise of the Resistance.
And
Radiator Springs has got the individual. Because otherwise, if you want to ride with your family, you've got to get the extra thing. You can do single rider, and that's pretty quick. But you're not riding with anybody you know.
This next trip in September, we're going with another family, and I'm kind of excited because I might be able to take advantage of things like single rider on some rides that the little old dad doesn't want to ride, stuff like that. I'm looking forward to going in September just because I know in September the crowds tend to be less because of school. Right. So, but it's miserable in Orlando today, by the way, kids. Miserable everywhere.
There. It's awful. I mean, we are...
Today's actually kind of cool. It's only 93 there right now. It's going to hit a high at 96.
I'm looking at where I am. It will not dip below 110 for a week.
That's climate change is real.
The high today of 116. 116. Dude, and like I was in our pool last night. I got in there at like 7 o'clock. And you know, at first it's okay. This is nice. It's very warm. But I'm like swimming around looking at the thermometer. It's 90 fucking degrees. The pool water's 90 degrees. And after 10, 15 minutes.
You're basically in a spa.
Yeah, after 10 or 15 minutes, you're even like, you know, this is kind of warm. And it's not so refreshing anymore. But, you know, when you first get in, it's like, okay, well, that, you know, normally get in, that cold jolt hits you. But you didn't get that at all. But it's been rough here.
Yeah, I saw... Arizona or somewhere hit 118, or maybe Vegas.
One of the guys I used to work with, he's an attorney up in Fresno, and I still interact. We're still Facebook friends. He says, I'm thinking of heading over to Death Valley to escape from the heat. And he puts a graphic up and it's like 113 in Fresno, 106 in Death Valley. And I'm like, those are words that should never, ever, ever be. Let's go to Death Valley to escape the heat.
Cool. All right. Well, enough of that. Enough of old men talking about the weather. Enough of us talking about Disney. That's a whole other podcast, something we can do some other day when we got time to kill. Musical Chairs is back, season 4. Dave and I having to dig into the well now, starting a little bit with some of these bands. I say that. I'm about to drop one of my all-time favorite bands, an iconic band, you know, in American music history. So
I am intrigued.
Maybe I'm not digging that deep. I don't know that you're intrigued. It's not going to come as a surprise. We've talked about it. We're back for Dave. I'm excited to just talk music again, talk about bands I love, we love. I'm sure you are as well. I got to believe you're going to kick us off this year. I got to believe you got a good one to start us. I don't want you to tell us who, because we're going to do a commercial break and then we can get to it. But can you give a tease? What genre, where are we headed? What decade are we going to for this one?
This will be probably late 80s, early 90s. That's a decade. They are pioneers of sorts, as we will discuss. They're one of the bands that kind of, they really had an influence on like fashion and style and sort of stuff that we saw later on in that decade. And kind of controversial band a little bit, but it's hard to get more into them without giving it away completely. But I will say this season is going to be an interesting one for me, because I've already got it mapped out. It's like, okay, I'm going to be a little bit all over the place with this. I'm going to try and follow Mr. O'Dowd's eclecticness. Go in that direction.
I was going to say, I tend to be all over the place. So yeah. It'll be a nice meld. All right. We're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, Dave will give you his band this week. Before we do this, I almost forgot. For those of you who have forgotten, every week on Musical Chairs, Dave and I are going to pick one of our favorite bands, a band that we love to listen to, or even a band we just think you should appreciate. We're going to talk about them on the show. Dave picks one, I pick one, and then we each give you two tunes that we think you should listen to by that band. So, very much a self-indulgent music project, in my opinion. This is all about us and what we love to do. I don't fucking care, because I get to share music with everybody. So, with that in mind, let's end it in this commercial break. When we come back, Dave will regale you with his choice for the start of season 4 on Musical Chairs, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People. AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Musical Chairs here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and invest in one of our awesome Chair Shot shirts. Dave, I'm excited. I'm not going into depth on the shirts. Everybody knows where to find them. I'm excited. It's season four. I'm ready to have my doors blown off a little here. So
I don't know about that.
I'll go make myself a Lee Trevino and get excited if you, if you lay this out, okay?
Yeah, we need a recipe for the Lee Trevinos, don't we? I really think we need to figure out what's going on with that. But I don't know if I'll blow your skirt up or anything like that. I'm not sure. We'll see if you actually listen to this band. But like... you know me pretty well, Pat. You've seen kind of my taste in music tends to go on the heavier side, a little bit more aggressive usually. I mean, there's some stuff I'll be talking about this season that's going to go back in time a bit. But with this band, I remember like the first time I heard about these guys, I saw people around me wearing shirts with these their like logo and stuff like that. And we're like, who are these guys? And I started listening to them and you know, back in the, when I first listened to them, I was a metalhead, you know, long hair, all that kind of stuff. And these guys kind of like back in those days, you know, we kind of looked at punk rock. This is like 85, 87, 88, somewhere in there. Metalheads like me kind of looked at punk rock like, what the fuck is this? You know, who are these idiots? What is going on? And it's just because we were ignorant of the musical intricacies of punk rock back then. And so the two sides didn't really see eye to eye at all. Metal and punk were not on the same page, a lot of hostility towards both camps. And the band I'm going to talk about this week bridged that gap. Probably they were the first ones to do it. And it is Suicidal Tendency. And I don't know if you ever got into Suicidal or anything. Nope. Pat's shaking his head. No.
Nope.
These guys, and I mean, I lived on the East Coast when these guys broke loose, but they really got their start out here, not too far from where I live, down in Venice. And back in the days when the Venice, California was not, you know, I mean, Hulk Hogan allegedly comes from Venice, California, but it was kind of a different sort of vibe back then. It wasn't the, you know, the Venice Boardwalk now I compare it to like Berkeley, kind of, you know, with the street fairs and all the stuff that's going on there. But back when these guys came around and they kind of started there, it was heavily influenced by gang related activity. The Crips, the Venice 13, as they were called. And Suicidal Tendencies got banned from doing shows in LA for like 3 or 4 years because of gang-related concerns, gang paraphernalia, gang affiliation. The drummer flat out wore a hat that had Venice 13 on there. And like, you know, you had the Crips who were down there, and of course they were a black gang, and the Venice 13 were Hispanics. And so you had all this stuff going on, and they got this interesting kind of reputation as being just affiliated with gangs and you know, we don't need to get too deep into that, but that kind of colored a lot of what was going on. Then they started to kind of break through, and like their first major hit, of course, was Institutionalized, where all he wanted was a Pepsi. You know, that's all he wanted was a Pepsi. And that song and that album was really heavily punk driven. And then they started to become the first band to really meld punk and heavy metal together. So like Scott Ian of Anthrax, I went through an interview that he had, and he really credits Suicidal Tendencies as the first true thrash metal band, which coming from the guitarist of Anthrax, that's okay. That's a pretty big compliment because Anthrax is considered the godfathers of thrash metal. But yeah, they kind of, Suicidal just had this different sort of look to them, this different sound. You had Mike Muir with the blue bandana and the weird motions and the dancing on stage. You had Rocky George who had, you know, just remember this big guitarist with the Pittsburgh Pirates hat on. And I'm like, what? And this is back when I really didn't have much love for the Pirates because the Orioles and the Pirates, and that's another story entirely. But I think Rudy Trujillo, who is the, as you know, Pat, the present bassist for Metallica, he was in Suicidal Tendencies. And they kind of had this perfect storm of punk and heavy metal and skateboard culture. And yeah, there was some gang stuff going on as well, but they really propagated this sort of look that permeated through other bands, like going into the 90s, like Blink 182 had a lot of, like, in their video for Down has a lot of like the block lettering that Suicidal Tendencies used to use in the background. Limp Bizkit adopted kind of like that cholo sort of look that was going on. So they were really heavily influential in all that stuff. And they, like a lot of these bands, went through this progression of, okay, here's the first album's very punk. Then they came out with, which I still love the title of this album, How Will I Laugh Tomorrow When I Can't Even Smile Today? Fantastic stuff. And that was very much thrash metal. And then they kind of broke through with, I forget which the album was, but You Can't Bring Me Down was on the next album. And that kind of got them some commercial success. And then they kind of did some stuff later on that was too commercial. And then they kind of came back a little bit at the end. But yeah, they were always one of these bands I loved. One of my relatives on my wife's side of the family would always wear Suicidal Tendencies sort of shirts and paraphernalia and stuff. And then they had all the spinoff bands. I mean, one of the big, I don't know if you ever listened to Infectious Grooves. They're as funky as you can get. Check them out sometime. You would dig that, Pat, because it's the members of Suicidal, some of them, but then they go into this, like this funk sort of stuff. And it's really, really different to listen to and excellent. But yeah, these guys were always one of my favorites growing up. I fell in love with them and fell in love with that style of music and just what they brought to the table. And that's what I got for Suicidal Tendencies, man. Starting the season off heavy, buddy.
I can see that. So what are your two songs?
The two songs I've got, one of them is off that How Will I Laugh Tomorrow record. It's my favorite song off there. The video is fun for this one. It's called Trip at the Brain. And it starts off with a guy some homeless dude rummaging through the trash can, and he finds a brain. There's nothing wrong with this brain. And the song is, it's as thrash and heavy as any song that these guys have ever done. And it's one of my favorites. The other one is, I think like one of the first major albums that they did was Join the Army, and on Join the Army was Possessed to Skate, which I love that version of the song. But then in 1997, they released Prime Cuts, which is like their best greatest hits sort of compilation. And on that album, they redo Possessed to Skate. And I prefer the redone version of it because it's a little faster. And it's a little bit more polished and a little bit cleaner. And I love the bass line at the beginning of it. It's an awesome bass line. So yeah, those are my two: Trip of the Brain, Possessed to Skate, 1997 redo. Those are the two I got, man. So I don't know if you've heard either of them, but you know, just.
No, I was not a Suicidal Tendencies guy. I had to look up them while you were talking. I brought up their Wikipedia page.
Ah.
I knew of them. I know of them. I don't know them well at all, which, hey, part of why we do this show, right?
They've got a really interesting history colored in some controversy, and then they just kind of broke out of it. And their live shows are interesting. They bring like a bunch of people up on stage, or Mike Muir does. And you could tell the other guys on stage are like, what the hell's going on here? Why are all these people on stage? But it turns into a pretty extended mosh pit extending from the floor to the stage and back down. It's a fun time.
Cool. All right. Well, there you have it, everyone. Dave, given us Suicidal Tendencies this week for Musical Chairs, be sure to stick around to the end of the podcast where you will get samples of the two tunes he recommended. Copyright be damned. All right. We're going to take our second break. When we come back, we come back, we're going to dig into my archives with a band I grew up on and love. And you all know them. You've all heard of them. We're going to stay in California, too. It'll be a lot of fun. Stick around for that. You are listening to, I almost said, Bandwagon Nerds. You are listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome back into Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your Chairshot swag needs. Dave, I told you we were going to stay in California for this next band. This band has spanned decades. It's a seminal American rock band. Disney Plus just released a documentary about them about a month ago. Okay. It's the Beach Boys. And I went back and forth on how to talk about this very tumultuous group. And I don't think people really recognize how rocky the Wilson brothers and their father, like how bad that relationship was with that band. And, you know, of course, everybody knows about like Brian Wilson and his mental health problems and his mental breakdown. But this is a band that went through lineup changes, has had different. They still tour today and perform today. At the nostalgic state fair circuits and the like. You can usually catch them in New Hampshire at Hampton Beach. But the original lineup was Brian Wilson, Dennis Wilson, Carl Wilson, Mike Love, their cousin, and their friend Al Jardine. They were managed by the Wilson boys' father, who we would later come to learn, dude was a dick a lot. Murray Wilson was a dick. And they had this very distinctive sound that made them popular. What was really, really ironic, this surf sound was this concept that they invented and, you know, was known for these very light kind of teenage, you know, driving around in cars, going surfing, enjoying life, chasing girls. I mean, they had a song called Be True to Your School. Like, they were bubblegum, popcorny, just sugary sweet. And behind all of that was one of the greatest musical minds ever in Brian Wilson. And he would go on to, with the Beach Boys, create an album that was largely panned critically and is now looked upon very, very fondly in Pet Sounds for the level of genius that Brian Wilson had, especially with composition and building vocals and working with musicians and layering sounds and using full orchestra. I'm going to tell you right now, both of my tunes that I chose by the Beach Boys are from that album, because that album, one, is one that everyone should. They should, if you're going to own two albums by the Beach Boys, it's The Smile Sessions and it's Pet Sounds. Like, those are the two that you should really own. Those are, you know, them at their absolute best. But it didn't start like that. It started with, if you've ever seen the movie That Thing You Do starring Tom Hanks.
Yep.
Where everybody is really snappy and poppy and having a good old time. That's what the Beach Boys started with. And then the British invasion happened and competing with the Beatles happened. And then Brian Wilson starts to crack under the pressure of it all. And he starts to withdraw away from the band, and to the point where in the late 60s, he's not really a part of the band. And to keep going in the 70s in this interesting like resurgence tour, where they've started adding other musicians that come on to to fill in roles. And it was really the, I think it was Carl that really kind of like takes the lead. Carl and Dennis really take the lead in keeping the band going and keeping them touring. And Al Jardine leaves the band and comes back. And they start doing concerts in the 70s until that whole whacked out Charles Manson incident happened. And then people were like, what the hell? And they were a slice of America. Like, that's what they are. And, you know, and you can name, you know, whether it's Surfing USA, Fun, 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 Snoop John B, Little Deuce Coop, like, those Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations, which is another song that you listen to, it extraordinarily complex, just unbelievable. I can't even remember the name of the instrument that they use. I'm gonna have to look it up real quick.
Yeah.
But it's the one that makes that big like whistling, that not whistling sound, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
What you're talking about. Absolutely.
Who does that? It had an echo chamber that it was so crazy. It was very experimental for the time in 1966. And then it was like all gone. And then it was all gone. They nearly went bankrupt. Brian Wilson was, you know, literally held hostage by his doctor. Like crazy, crazy stuff. But they were brilliant. And they were all brilliant too. They were all very, very talented. Don't let anybody say that it was just Brian.
No.
That's the thing I really appreciated about the documentary on Disney Plus, is they really made a point to talk about the other members of the band and what they brought to the band.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. Yeah, they're one of my favorites as well. I just took them off my extended list, my reserve list of bands I want to cover one of these decades. And they were on there and I just said, got to take them off now. And that's okay. But yeah, you talk about them being a slice of Americana. They are integral to my childhood because I grew up, like, as you know, in Washington, D.C. And I've told you this before. The Beach Boys played the Mall in Washington, D.C. every 4th of July. Every 4th of July, they were down there. And like, I was there the one year that they brought Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin on stage. There's a million fucking people down there. They counted it. A million people. I was in the middle of all that craziness. So yeah, the Beach Boys were hugely influential. And they kind of, you talk about the Beatles. There's a lot of parallels between the Beatles and the Beach Boys. And you look at their career trajectory and the composition of the songs, right? Like the Beatles started off very poppy, very catchy. She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I Want to Hold Your Hand. And then as they progressed, they got much deeper with their songs and stuff like, you know, like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and some of the stuff that they did. And the Beach Boys kind of paralleled that. You know, they started off very poppy, surfy. And then as they went along, you got some more complex, not to say that, like you said, Good Vibrations is complex, but a different kind of complexity. So my favorite song by them is Don't Worry, Baby. That's my favorite Beach Boys song.
That's a good song. Yep.
And
not one of the two that I picked.
No, so I'm sure it wasn't, but I mean, that's just the one that for some reason I love a lot of the stuff that they've and that sort of thing, but yeah, they are an American icon. Especially this time of year for me, 4th of July, Beach Boys, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. You get all up in those nostalgic feels. All right. My two tunes, both off of the Pet Sounds album. The first one, you want to hear more than surf tunes from the Beach Boys, and you want to hear lyrics that take you someplace else. The song I Just Wasn't Made for These Times is Brian Wilson in particular. Is Brian writing and telling us he doesn't feel like he fits, and it's a very interesting song to listen to because it's almost heartbreaking. On a level when you listen to it and you know what you know now. And I didn't put this one over. There is a very good documentary. You have to pay for it on Amazon streaming, but there is a very good documentary just about Brian Wilson based on his book. And if you ever want to read a memoir that'll tear you up a little bit, read Brian Wilson's memoir. It's phenomenal. And it's told and it's written very much in his sort of stream of consciousness sort of thought. But you can see the beginnings of that in this song, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times. The other one, this is a classic. You've heard it in movies. I always think of the movie Love Actually when I hear it because it ends the movie. That's God Only Knows. God Only Knows What I'd Be Without You. It's a love song. It's beautiful. It uses all of those layers and those harmonies that I was just talking about, the sound mixing, the use of the orchestra behind them. And yet he never lets the musicians overshadow the vocals in that song. It's, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful songs written in the era. And Brian Wilson is the mind that gave us that. And so those are my two. I just wasn't made for these times. God only knows. Give them a listen. You've heard, everybody's heard God Only Knows. Like, everybody knows that song. You play three notes on it, you know that song.
Yeah.
I just wasn't made for these times. I want, you're going to have to actually listen a little bit more.
I just want to say before we cut out here, I really hope our friend DJ listens to Musical Chairs, because I know he's been asking us about a musical podcast and asking Tunney. And I'm like, you do know we have a musical-based podcast, right? So hopefully DJ listens to this, because he might be your pinch hitter when you're out. So
maybe, yeah. You have to make sure he knows the list. No double dipping.
Yeah, that's right. You can't say something we've done already. It's like a board game.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah, very much so. And it's not like in the annals of music history. There are plenty to choose from. And we chose two more today, Suicidal Tendencies and The Beach Boys. Now, that's is a hell of a mix. That if a there mix. Ever was one. And that's going to do it for this week's show. So, Dave, tell everybody where they can find you out there on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can check me out on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude Ag. And check out, of course, the show Attitude of Aggression. I am going to plug it a little bit because we're doing pretty good work with the whole Big Five project and our trip down nostalgia. And we're trying to desperately to get to the good stuff and leaving 1993 behind us. Thank God. On Facebook is facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
And you can follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WREST. Oh shit, I forgot my own handle. Try this one more time. At Wrestling Realist, at WRESTLNGREALIST. Catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chairshot Radio Network. Mondays right now, talking nerdy stuff. Who knows? It may change. It's only been 250 episodes or so. I don't think it's changing.
No.
Every Tuesdays, talking music and hockey with this guy right here, David Ungar. And Wednesdays, occasionally talking wrestling with one Greg DeMarco. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Musical Chairs. Stay tuned next week when Dave and I bring you two more great bands that we are sure you are going to love every bit as much as we do. Till then, we'll see you next time. This has been Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
wants to help me look for places where new things might be found. Stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.